leaving the state. They moved back to Washington and launched a protest. That led to the landmark 1967 U.S. Supreme Court ruling striking down laws banning racially mixed marriages. At least 17 states had them at the time. After the Supreme Court ruling, the couple moved back to Virginia. Richard Loving died in a car accident in 1975. Mildred Loving died Friday at her home in Milford, Virginia, at the age of 68. For NPR News, I'm Beverly Amsler in Roanoke, Virginia.
On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Industrials are down 107 points at 12,950. The NASDAQ Composite is off 17 points. The S&P 500 Index is down 8 points. I'm Craig Windham, NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from the Annie E. Casey Foundation, working to help vulnerable kids and families succeed at aecf.org.
WILL programming is made possible by Strawberry Fields Natural Food Store, featuring locally grown and organic produce, freshly baked breads, a coffee bar, and bulk foods department. Strawberry Fields also offers natural vitamins, health and beauty products, household cleaning products, pet foods, and an in-store nutritionist to answer questions about healthy eating.
You're tuned to the Afternoon Magazine on AM 580. We're online at will.illinois.edu. I'm Celeste Quinn. Registered dietitian Susan Kundrat is with us today. She joins us once a month, usually on the first Monday of the month, to talk about diet and nutrition. So if you have a question for Susan, give us a call. Here are the numbers in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Anywhere else, call toll-free 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL. Let me tell you a little bit more about Susan. Susan Kundrat is a sports and wellness nutritionist and the owner of Nutrition on the Move. She specializes in developing personalized nutrition plans for athletes and the general public. She's an adjunct lecturer with the Food Science and Human Nutrition Department at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign, and she's a frequent contributor to magazines on health and fitness. You'll find her on the web at www.nutritiononthemove.net. She's also the author of 101 Sports Nutrition Tips. Questions about diet and nutrition? Give us a phone call, 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455. 333-WILL, 800-222-WILL. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good. Thank
you. Happy May.
Happy May, and it feels like May, doesn't it?
It feels good today, doesn't it? And it was a beautiful day yesterday as well.
It was.
Well, no one waiting for us yet at the moment. So where should we start this afternoon?
Well, I think a good place to start is really talking a little bit about antioxidants and antioxidants in foods. You know, there's a lot of interest with looking at particular foods and how they might be most beneficial. I think I get questions every day on which foods should I eat perhaps to decrease, you know, problems with arthritis or to help my heart or to maybe lower cholesterol. And so the USDA has come out with basically a listing, kind of a whole review of what they call antioxidant quality of food based on ORAC values, O-R-A-C, which is ORAC is actually a value that looks at oxygen radical absorbance capacity, or they call it ORAC. And it's a way to actually, you know, one way at least to look at foods and see, well, how powerful are these antioxidants in foods? And we think that's a pretty good way to look at the different values in foods. And so they've put some information online, and they've actually ranked foods two different ways. One way is to look at particular foods based on their actual weight amount of the food and how high is the antioxidant level in that food. And for example, those might be, you know, if you had, let's say, 100 grams of one food versus another, which foods would be the highest in antioxidants. And a lot of those, that rank the highest are spices. And so we've heard more. I mean, there's been a lot of research on cinnamon, for example, and looking at turmeric and how that may help with decreasing inflammation, and how cinnamon might help with blood pressure and cholesterol reduction. And we don't know all the answers for sure, but it's all interesting. But the spices that came out the highest in antioxidant power, basically, were cloves, cinnamon, oregano, turmeric, and then cocoa powder is in there as the next one, actually, for weight. Mm. Cumin seeds, parsley, basil, and so on. So those tend to be, one thing just for us to remember for general health is using more spices if we like those spices, because they, from a power standpoint with antioxidants, are certainly some foods that we maybe don't incorporate as much as we normally would, simply because we just don't use them or we're not used to those types of foods that are flavored that way. So it's a good reminder of how important spices might be just in our diet. I mean, if you look at some of the research on cinnamon, for example, mm-hmm. it ends up being that may be helpful for lipid lowering. It ends up being about a quarter teaspoon twice a day. So if you think about cinnamon, now, of course, we don't know exact amounts of all these spices that are helpful, but that's a doable amount. You know, for a lot of my clients, they can add that in, oatmeal in the morning, and maybe have a slice of whole grain toast with cinnamon mm-hmm. and a little bit of sugar or Splenda or something on it at night. So that is reasonable. So I guess the way to think about is using herbs, particularly using fresh herbs, now that mm-hmm. be able to go to the farmer's market many places, think about getting some herbs as well as your fruits and vegetables. And so those things are important to remember. And then when we look at the actual foods, they also list foods in this research review according to what we would typically eat. In other words, typical servings. So let's say for foods that we might usually eat in our diets, which foods would be the highest of things we incorporate. And that list starts out with foods like walnuts, berries we know are very high, blackberries, raspberries, blueberries, plums, and apples rank really high. And so I think apples get a bad rap sometimes because people think, gosh, they're a little bit higher in calorie. Maybe I shouldn't eat apples. But they're actually very high in several mm. antioxidants. So they rank high there. Cranberries rank high. Again, you get chocolate in here. So there's no reason not to eat chocolate, particularly if it's the, the dark chocolate. The thing we know is the cocoa really is the best. And right. So.
And you don't need a lot.
You don't need a lot, but definitely the dark chocolate and particularly the cocoa is helpful. And a few other things that pull up in these lists, cabbage, peppers, orange juice, spinach, kiwi, sweet potatoes. And you can see with some of these lists that when we look at foods that we would normally eat, a lot of that really is also looking at color. And so we always talk about mm-hmm. trying to eat more balanced, trying to get more antioxidants, probably enhancing the color of your diet. And so you look and you say, gosh, if I did eat blackberries, and artichokes are another one I neglected to mention, but they're high up there. Cranberries, if you got in green peppers or red peppers.
Blueberries,
your plate's going to look pretty colorful. So it's an easy way to do it, of course. But I do think it's helpful getting some of these lists to say, gosh, walnuts, for example. A lot of people like walnuts, but they just don't eat them. And walnuts are so good in so many ways, and they're also the nut that tends to be the highest in omega-3 type fatty acids. So there are a lot of good reasons to eat walnuts, and, this might be just another reason. They're also extremely high in antioxidants.
Okay. So pesto made with walnuts.
What
there
you
think?
Go. That sounds like a great idea. I think I'm going to try that.
Okay. We've got a couple of listeners who would like to talk with you now, Susan. So let's go and take our first call this afternoon. A listener on line one in Champaign. Hello.
Hi. I had a question about calcium supplements.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering, if I take calcium supplements, I take 300-400 milligrams a day, and it has vitamin D in it. Should I not drink milk, too? Am I at risk for kidney stones?
Well, the amount that you'd have to take in, I guess we'll step back one bit. You won't absorb all of that calcium,
okay.
typically in a supplemental form, or even in food. We don't generally absorb everything. And really, the upper limit that you probably want to be concerned about is if you'd go over 2,000 milligrams a day total.
Okay.
Which would be pretty hard. I mean, even if you get in, let's say, 1,000 milligrams in a supplement, or even 1,200 if they're 400 milligrams and you have three, you could still drink a couple glasses of milk with that and maybe get one more good source and you probably would be fine.
Okay, great.
And like you mentioned, you do want vitamin D with that. You know, vitamin D is something that we're finding is typically low in people's diets, so that's helpful. And many of the supplements now also have a little magnesium in them, too, which also may help with absorption.
Do you know about how much magnesium I should be taking?
Well, it ends up being usually a 2-to-1 ratio of calcium to magnesium in a lot of the supplements. So it may be that you would see if you had a supplement with 500 milligram calcium, maybe that has 200 or 300 milligrams of magnesium as well. And it may not be totally essential, but it also might be helpful. And so you'll see vitamin D and magnesium in a lot of calcium supplements now, too. So that's certainly an option. And I wouldn't go. I wouldn't run out and get those just this minute, but that's something to think about maybe when you purchase your next ones. Typically, when you take calcium, you know, we really do recommend you don't take more than 500 or 600 milligrams at one time to aid with absorption. So if you're breaking these down, that's, you know, that's good. That's important. And I think it's helpful to do a diet log. Maybe you just jot down what you're eating for 3 or 4 days in a row and try to get an idea of really what you are taking in from milk products and other calcium sources. And you might be, you know, you might find that, gosh, I really don't need to take as much in a supplement as I'm doing. But you also might find that you're just not consistent enough with your other calcium foods.
Yeah, that was my main concern when I started taking them. I don't think I was getting 3 a day every day. But then I started worrying, well, should I completely avoid milk and cheese? So thank you. That clears up a lot. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Next, we take a call from a listener in Urbana. Hi. Line two. Okay.
Hi.
Urbana, hi.
Here I am. I understand that there are two kinds of things that we call cinnamon. One's real cinnamon, and one is something else, and I cannot recall quite what it's called. Maybe cassia? But I'm wondering whether, apparently one is a lot cheaper than the other, and I'm wondering if they both, if anybody knows whether they both have the same antioxidant effects and other good effects.
Yes. Well, what I would say with that, it is true that there are other things that are called calcium or called cinnamon, but aren't necessarily cinnamon. And if you can get what is really 100% ground cinnamon, that's definitely what you want to do. I heard at one point there was I remember reading a review at one point that there was a, you know, certainly finding natural sources of cinnamon is good, or that McCormick had a brand that was really 100% cinnamon to look for. But yes, I think that's a good point, is that sometimes we're not actually getting cinnamon, even though we think we are. And I think what we're finding now is that people are becoming more aware of it, so there are a lot more brands on the market that actually are cinnamon, that have more real cinnamon in them. But that is a very good point. And not to say that really, you know, when we look at cinnamon, and particularly when I was going through this list of herbs and spices, and you just see that really so many strong herbs and spices are so high in their beneficial properties, and it may be that other things that are very similar to cinnamon also have benefit, but maybe they haven't been studied as well, because it does appear that so many of these are helpful. So I wouldn't necessarily think it's not going to benefit you, even if you don't get 100% pure cinnamon. I would just say try to find that when you can.
Well, I had been reading about it in Consumer Reports on Health. I had a short article that it seemed to help modulate blood sugar levels. And a friend had gestational diabetes and was having a great deal of difficulty getting things on an even keel. And she found it in capsule form somewhere in Champaign, Urbana, so that you, if you really need it, you don't necessarily have to find ways to put it on food, although it's not hard to put it on cereal or into a smoothie or a little bit of ice cream. Of course, if you put ice cream, that kind of
at our house, we put a little bit into chili.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks.
Thanks for the call. Let's take another call. A listener in Urbana, line one. Good afternoon.
Hi.
Hi.
You made a comment earlier about making pesto with walnuts. And I've made it with walnuts for many, many years after discovering the joys of pesto and finding out the high cost of pine nuts.
Yeah.
Typically made, I thought, you know what, I bet you can substitute walnuts and still get the same crunch. And because the pesto is such a full flavor with the basil, I really don't notice the difference between when it's made with walnuts versus pine nuts, but maybe I don't have a real discriminating palate, but it works great for us.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's a great idea to put walnuts in the pesto. And I think walnuts have a little longer shelf life.
We freeze ours, and we just go from one season to the next. We have it frozen in ice cube trays, and, you know, I really can't tell the difference.
Yeah. Well, it's to me, pesto is something that's a little on the rich side because of the olive oil, and I really don't need the pine nuts.
Right.
Although they taste pretty good.
They taste good. I wonder if the listener could give us his actual recipe, if he knows offhand.
Ooh, off the top of my head, I believe it's 2 cups of firmly packed basil leaves and 1/2 cup olive oil, and I do it in the Cuisinart. I think 1 teaspoon of salt, 1/2 cup of walnuts and garlic, 2 or 3 garlic cloves or teaspoons. I buy the pre-done garlic just because it's easier.
Mm-hmm.
And
Parmesan?
I put a little bit of Parmesan, of course. And I usually, because I freeze it, I add some more Parmesan right before I serve it.
Mm-hmm.
But it still freezes fine with just the, you know, Parmesan. And I usually reconstitute it with a little bit of extra olive oil when I take the cubes out of the tray.
Mm-hmm.
And, I heard once that you should put a little bit of vinegar in with each batch or lemon juice, just some sort of acid, because it helps it retain the color better.
Yes.
Oh, okay, that's a good tip.
So it doesn't darken. But yeah. I actually have one more question.
Sure.
And that is, of all the various fiber supplements, even though we really do try to get most of our fiber from natural sources, reading about all the, you know, Metamucil versus Citrucil, and I know maybe you can't give an actual product name over the air, but maybe the ingredients that we should be looking for within a fiber supplement?
Well, I think there's a lot of different ways you can do it. What I find with the fiber supplements is it's best to try different ones and see what works best for you, because it, you know, we're all different in terms of how our bodies react. I will say, if I were to give one recommendation of the type of fiber supplement that seems to help my clients the best, it is ground flax seeds as opposed to any of the other products, because it's just a bulk enhancer. And you also get a lot of fiber, and you get some of the natural oils, which for many people, getting some oils with the fiber does help with constipation too. And so if I've had people who've tried various different things and it hasn't worked, often this will be something additional to try, maybe up to 2 tablespoons a day. Anytime you add ground flax, because it is pretty concentrated in fiber, you would want to maybe just start with adding a couple teaspoons a day. Just mix in anything, cottage cheese, yogurt, oatmeal, anything like that, or just mix in your juice and maybe work up to 2 tablespoons a day. But 2 tablespoons a day for a lot of people is really, really helpful. And I also really like prunes. So if someone would like prunes, that's
prunes.
A benefit too, because many people like them, but they just don't have them. I just came back from a conference last month, and you wouldn't believe all the prunes I saw at this conference. Actually, there was a brand that they were marketing these tubes of prunes. I don't know if anybody's seen them in the grocery store, but they come in these long tubes, plastic tubes, and they're single-serving prunes. And so you just open them up. So I've been eating a lot of prunes the last month because I've had them in my office. But, you know, that's another thing to think about, is doing that. And, you know, and then I think any of these products are fine, these other products, you know, that you can buy. And it just may be that you try different things and see what works. The other thing I just really encourage people to think about is fluids, because for many folks, they'll get the fiber in, but they won't drink enough fluids. So then, of course, they get more constipated. So just really keeping in mind fluids, and maybe even mixing, having some warmed fluids, whether it's tea or just warmed up water during the day a few times too, which can really help the gastrointestinal tract if you get some warmer liquids as well as cool ones.
Okay, great.
Thanks for the call.
Ground flaxseed, you can probably buy at any, like, Strawberry Fields or any of the grocery stores with more of an organic section.
Sure. I mean, you can buy them pretty much in any store now. You can get, it would be called flaxseed meal, and certainly all the natural food stores have them, but I've seen them in most of the grocery stores now, too. And so, yeah, give that a try.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. And because that does have some oil in it, you want to store that in the fridge or in the freezer?
Right, exactly. You do want to store that. You want to close it up tightly because it can get rancid, and keep it maybe in another Ziploc bag or something in the fridge or the freezer, either one. Yeah.
Okay, very good. This is the Afternoon Magazine. Our guest this afternoon, registered dietitian Susan Kundrat. She's a sports and wellness nutritionist and the owner of Nutrition on the Move. Listeners, you can join us this afternoon with questions, comments. The number in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. We also have a toll-free line, that number, 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL. And this information that we were talking about earlier from the USDA, you said that we could get people copies of this if they were interested, if they want to drop us a note.
Yes, I have. What I did is I printed off on the USDA website. They have a version of a poster session that they put together on this database that you can download. So I just printed that off, and it's a little bit small type, but I think with a good magnifying glass, you can read it all. I can read it, but barely. But
yeah.
But we can send that out because that actually goes through their study. So it's kind of interesting to figure out how they're researching these foods. And then it does have the two lists of foods based on total amount and then based on what we would typically consume, to give you an idea. The other thing is, if you would get online on the USDA website, you can actually pull up all the listings of different foods. So, for example, if you wanted to compare a sweet potato to a regular white potato and the difference in antioxidants, you could look that up, and that's listed. There's a whole review that talks about this whole study and lists all the foods. I think it's about 36 pages, but I got that too. And so you can actually have your own reference for particular foods and start marking the ones that maybe are the highest that you could eat more often. And that kind of gets back to the idea of, you know, nutrition is so interesting. There's so much to learn about it. The bottom line is getting the food in our mouth, right? Mm. So maybe you go through and say, gosh, here are two.